Yeah, that's what he said. I swear.
Hey, bro. Hey, welcome to the Goots Cast. We're here. It's Halloween. It's our Halloween episode. We just covered, well, we just watched NXT Halloween Havoc. It was a good show up until the fucking last match.
You know what? I like the whole show. I like the entire thing. I know some people are probably going to think some parts were stupid, but in my opinion, it was campy. So a lot of parts were campy, but I thought the comedy still hit. In some
I like the majority of the show, except for the finish of the main event.
Yeah, but man, we'll get into it. We'll get into that. But I'm glad you enjoyed the show because I thought I was going to be the only one.
This was no, I think this was way better. If you're still like trying to push this narrative that NXT 2.0 is not good and it's this and that and it's not good work rate or whatever, because I think the narrative is that this show is no longer about good work rate. It's about something. You're fucking full of shit. You just have an anti-WWE agenda or an anti-Vince agenda. Because this was probably like the best episode of NXT I've seen in a long fucking time. Probably in well almost 2 years.
Since it's been on USA.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And when, like all the matches were really, I mean the matches that counted were really good.
Yeah, like you know what? When NXT was just on the network and when it was like an hour, right? I consider that a different version of NXT than when they got on USA. I consider those two different shows. So, because when it was on the network and it was an hour, there's a lot of episodes there where it's like they're really good episodes. But tonight's Halloween Havoc was probably the best NXT episode that since they've been on USA.
This felt like a takeover.
Yeah, it had... The wrestling was good. I thought all the wrestling was good, even the worst matches were not bad. And there were some surprises and I thought some of the comedy was funny. And so I had no complaints about this. This, if you don't like that NXT is like this, I think you are forgetting that WWE owns NXT. Like, I don't know how you don't understand this. This is, if you don't like WWE, like, you shouldn't be liking this NXT.
Some guy argued, like they want Bron Breakker to be the guy. And I'm like, well, isn't that good? Like, who's going to be the guy? Is it going to be Cedric Alexander? Like, who the fuck?
Wait, like they said they don't want Bron. They
like kind of made it a thing that like they're like it's a negative that you know now these new guys are gonna get pushes because they want to make these guys the guy, whether it's Bron Breakker or Tony, what's his last name?
Tony D'Angelo,
Priscilla Kelly, whatever. But
I think who the fuck is Priscilla Kelly?
What's her name?
Oh, Priscilla Kelly. Oh, I thought you said Priscilla Kelly. I was like, who's
Gigi
Dolan?
Gigi Dolan, yeah. The new Uso. But I think that's fucking good because these people, like, Karrion Kross was made look like a monster and it was like a fucking goof on Raw. The same thing with Keith Lee. Like, there was a disconnect. Doudrop, look at how stupid Doudrop looks now. There was a disconnect. Yeah. Now there's not going to be a disconnect because I feel, even though I didn't agree with the finish tonight, Bron Breakker's being set up to be where Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns are right now.
Yeah, I think
there's not going to be this weird, like he's not our guy when he shows up to the main roster.
If you are not like wrestling's all been about pushing wrestling in its entirety is all about pushing up young stars.
Yeah.
That's what it's always been. We would have never gotten The Rock if it wasn't about pushing young stars. Yeah, I get it. Maybe you're like, oh, the push is coming too quickly. You might be thinking that. But here's the thing. It's NXT. It's supposed to be developmental. It doesn't fucking matter. It's like if you don't like this, I don't got no fucking up time.
I want to ask these people, do you really think Bron Breakker should just sit in NXT for 6 years like Ciampa and Gargano have at this point till he does anything?
Yeah. Dude, like, I think there was a mistake that he wasn't on NXT sooner. Mm-hmm. Somebody was holding this fucking guy back because he's been training since 2018.
Well, so when they signed until January.
No. But he's been training. He has been wrestling training since 2018. And when they signed him, He fucking sat off of TV for months. Why wasn't this guy on TV sooner? It's fucking stupid.
Well, he's gotta go. It's on TV now, and he got to lose. So
you know who else was on TV? Chucky. He was all over this fucking show.
But it wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad.
I didn't know Chucky was going to be on this so much, but he was all over this. The show starts off with Chucky, and he talks about, like, oh, this is exactly what I like. The guy who does Chucky's voice, it sounds, to me, it doesn't sound like Chucky from what I remember, but obviously, whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's the same guy. He never got a new voice.
I thought this guy, I was like, is Chucky the host? He was basically the host of the show.
He was the host. He's not.
No, it was Grayson Wall.
So what was Chucky, like the special guest star?
I have no idea. It was like Chucky was like the host, but he technically wasn't the host of the show. But anyway, the first 30 minutes of NXT tonight is commercial free. Was commercial free, I should say, not is. The first matchup is a triple threat ladder match that they're calling. So everything has a Halloween theme. So it's called Stairwell to Hell, triple threat. It's a Stairway to Hell ladder match. It is for the NXT women's tag team titles. We've got JC Jane and Gigi Dolan, who is two thirds of Toxic Attraction, right? That's what it is called, right? Versus Indy Hartwell and Persia Parada, and versus the tag team champions, Zoe Starks and Io Shirai. It's a ladder match. This is the second ladder match I watched tonight because I watched Raw from last night today. There was a ladder match on Raw. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't watch Raw.
If you watch like two back-to-back ladder matches, it definitely desensitizes you for a ladder match, right? So I wasn't too impressed with this one, but there were a couple of cool spots. There's this one thing they did where there was this one really tall ladder and everyone just kept jumping on it and jumping on each other. I did like the way they did that. It ultimately ends with Zoe Starks falling off that giant ladder and diving onto people. Io Shirai takes a very scary bump. She fucking gets pushed off a ladder. She steps on the top rope and then she kind of like flips over and lands back first onto a ladder that's set up. It made it even worse because she's screaming the whole time, which a lot of ladder matches, nobody screams, right? When they're falling. But her screaming really added to it. I thought, I was like, why wouldn't you fucking scream if you're falling off a ladder onto another ladder? It's like, why wouldn't you scream? She screams. No hands, she just fucking lands back first. It looks devastating, but the ladder doesn't even break either. It doesn't give, so it looks pretty cool. Ultimately, JC Jane and Gigi Dolan, they grab the title. So they're your new women's NXT tag team champions. What did you think of this match?
I liked it a lot. The right people won with Gigi Dolan and the other girl. Well, more so Gigi Dolan and the other girl. But it was a really good match. Everyone looked good. That Io Shirai bump was crazy. I almost think like she wasn't supposed to fall like that.
Yeah, she.
They both lost control of that spot.
Yeah, because normally you never see someone fall like that. It was like she's getting tipped over the ladder. Mm-hmm. She steps in the top rope and with no hands, she's got no hands attached. She just fucking flips, lands back first, and the ladder doesn't break. And it did look sick, but I think she's fine, right?
Yeah, Shotzi Blackheart tweeted that she was okay.
Okay, yeah, it was crazy.
I thought, like, legit, because Indy Hartwell, I almost feel like she wasn't supposed to react like that. I felt like legit, like, oh, they really fucked up. But I'm really glad Toxic Attraction won. Is that their name?
Yeah, that's the name of the stable.
I know a lot of people don't like. The Twitter is like Priscilla Kelly because I don't know. I think Priscilla
Kelly. Did the tampon thing?
No, but I think she defended Will Ospreay or some bullshit. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, you know what it was? She defended her ex-husband, Darby Allin, when he was getting accused of the Me Too stuff.
Okay. So, yeah. So,
Darby Allin.
Apparently, you're supposed to, if someone you were in a relationship with and you know it's not a creep, if you defend them for not being a creep, then you're a creep. I don't know. Anyway, I know, like, I think she's got a great future in the company, and I think they have confidence in her because they had her grab the belts. I really like her. I think she's great.
Yeah, she was the one who grabbed the belt. She was the one who ended the match. Mm-hmm. I like her, but she got to stop making those stupid-ass faces. She makes
That's the thing. Yeah, she started making... like, don't do that. You're just hot. Don't do that.
Dude, I think she... I don't know what it is, but I've noticed this happens a lot in NXT. It's like they teach you, when you're a heel, you got to make these stupid fucking faces. Yeah. And I'm like, can you just stop making the fucking stupid ass faces? But
I'm glad they won. I really enjoyed this match. And I'm glad that they cut the commercials.
Good way to open the show. No commercial breaks. Zoe Starks and Io Shirai.
By the way, did you see that botch Zoe Stark did? That was really bad.
Wasn't the only botch of the night. But yeah, she does this thing where she's trying to do like a 450 onto somebody. I think it was JC Jane who's laying on the ladder, and she lands like
on her head
feet first, and it looked like she jacked her fucking knee by doing that. So I'm not sure if Zoe's okay, but she looked like she fucked up her knee from doing that.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you needed to get the titles off of Zoe and Io because that was a tactic that just never really it never clicked for me. So yeah, I mean. We'll see. New tag team champions. Good match. Good way to start. Then we get the cinematic portion of the show. We got Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. They're in the car and they drive up to Dexter Lumis's creepy house. I don't know if you guys remember from last Halloween Havoc. It was his creepy house where he had Cameron Grimes went to Dexter Lumis's house and all the zombies were there. So Johnny Gargano stole Carmelo Hayes' North American title, so he's trying to get it back. They're getting out of the car, and Trick Williams is already, like, he's, like, scared. Trick Williams doesn't want to go in. He's scared. And I thought Trick, during these whole segments, did a great job pretending to be scared. He actually was good acting by Trick. There was some – during these things, there was a lot of funny stuff, and I thought they hit, like so one of the things they did was they showed that Johnny Gargano is sitting with Dexter Lumis and they're watching all this on film. And Johnny Gargano says the line, I home alone this house. I put cameras everywhere, which explains how they can see everything, which I thought was good. Just all you need is that one liner to just fucking write things off. There's this part where they see this kid, this dead kid, and they go, look, it's Johnny Gargano. And they grab him and then they cut to Johnny Gargano going like, what the fuck? Like, I thought that was really funny that they were that he mistaken a kid for him and he got annoyed by that. They finally get to the house, you know, walking up through the property, and they're about to go in the house, and Trick Williams is like, you know, he's doing a great job acting scared. He's like holding on to Carmelo's arm. Carmelo's like, get off me, man. And Trick's like, hey man, let me just get you a replica belt. Right? And Carmelo's like, no, I want the side plates. I don't want the replica. So they go into the house. I enjoyed this segment. I really thought some parts were funny. Did you like it or did you hate it?
Yeah, it was okay. Here's the weird thing, dude. You're gonna fuck it. I thought this was hit row, and I was like, why are they still on NXT, acting like cowards? And because I was like, wait a minute, did they change Isaiah Swerve Scott's name? And then I read that like 2 weeks ago, he beat Isaiah for the North American title. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought this was Hit Row. And they changed the name or like, I was like, so that was, at first I was like, why is Hit Row acting like idiots? They do look a lot like Hit Row.
Yeah, they do. They do. Minus, yeah. By the way, Carmelo Hayes, I think, has a really bright future with this company. But now after this, I think Trick Williams also has a really bright future.
Yeah, I had to Google. I thought Isaiah Swerve Scott changed his name again. Uh-huh. And then I was like, oh no, this was the guy who won the tournament. Okay, that's
cool. Yeah. I can understand if people will think this is campy and cheesy, but I thought like some of the stuff was really funny with the little kid, people thinking that's Johnny Gargano and stuff. I liked it. So we come back to the arena or whatever the fuck it place. What is this place called? The Performance Center? What the fuck is it?
They now call it the NXT Arena. They don't reference it to the Performance Center or anything.
Okay, the NXT Arena. Grayson Waller is the host. He mistimes his cue, but he finally, you know, he comes back. He's the host. He's like, LA Knight is supposed to be the host for tonight. That's who they had announced last week. But he's like, but he's not here. So I'm now the host. Grayson Waller is just like a vampire. And he goes, I'm having a party in the back, and I'm going to keep you guys posted on what's happening in the back. Joe Gacy interrupts. And if you are not familiar with Joe Gacy, I think since Bray Wyatt, this guy has the nicest fucking theme song. It's just like a fucking sounds like a catchy beat. Joe Gacy comes out and he does cuts a promo, and he's got a match against Malik Blade. So they show Harlan during the middle of this match. Harlan comes out. He is the former Parker Bordeaux. I think that's his name. He's the guy who looks like Brock Lesnar, but they fucking shaved his entire head so he doesn't look like Brock Lesnar. And Joe Gacy hits his handspring fucking clothesline on Blade for the win. And then Harlan and Joe Gacy walk out. This is okay. I mean, Gacy needed a win. So this is like a showcase for Gacy and the storyline they're doing for Harlan. I thought this was fine. What did you think?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
What do you think about this Harlan looking guy?
Is that the Brock Lesnar guy?
That's the Brock Lesnar guy, but they're doing their best to make him not look like Brock Lesnar, which I understand.
I mean, they kind of have him acting like Luke Harper and Eric Rowan did, and we'll see. Like him just being like stoic and marching like a robot with dead eyes. We'll see. The jury's still out on it, but I mean, whatever.
Because he technically hasn't really done anything except for just stand and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, last week we were talking about. We were reviewing NXT UK and we were like, wasn't Ginny down in Florida for NXT? And what we did? We confused Kaylee Ray for Ginny. Because Kaylee Ray, the former NXT UK Women's Champion, is still down in NXT. And they did a video package for her that she's like, oh, she's still mad and she's whatever here. But do you know what? That's actually means that we can't really tell the difference between Kaylee Ray and Ginny. I really, I guess Ginny's the NXT UK champion, right?
Yeah, the Kaylee Ray thing kind of looks stupid. Like, I don't buy her like destroying like microwaves and shit like that. Like, I don't.
Yeah, was she destroying a microwave or?
She's destroying like refrigerators, plates. Yeah, I don't know, like just everything. Yeah. I don't buy it.
Yeah, but yeah, she is still in NXT, so they're gonna, I guess, push her. That's what the video package was. Then we get Grayson Waller. He's in the back. He's throwing a Halloween Havoc party with all the talent. You see Briggs and Jensen. You see Kushida, who is with Ikki Manjiro, and they're like doing this funny thing where Jiro doesn't understand what Halloween is, and he's like, "Oh, we got a plan. We got an idea for cosplay, whatever." And then Cameron Grimes. Waller's trying to talk to some women. Cameron Grimes comes and he chases all the women away because he's not good with women. Okay, whatever. This is anything you want to add about that backstage stuff?
No.
Do you not like Grayson Waller? Some people tell me they don't like Grayson Waller.
I didn't really know. I didn't realize he was a wrestler. I thought it was like one of the announcers. I didn't realize he was a wrestler until the final segment with LA Knight. So. I watch on Twitter stuff with Bron Breakker, but that's fine. And the Italian guy. Hey, forget about
Tony D'Angelo. Yeah. Grayson Waller, most of his matches have been on 205, so it's understandable people don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. He kind of reminds me of like a New Zealand
Miz
Austin Theory.
He reminds me a little bit of like a Miz when he started out.
I can see that too. Absolutely, yeah. Okay, so Malcolm Bivin is with Diamond Mine, and he's issuing an open challenge, which is accepted by Odyssey Jones. He wants to wrestle Strong. Strong accepts, even though Bivin's like, he's not 205. It doesn't matter for Strong. It goes to our third match, Odyssey versus Roderick Strong. There is a lot of interference from Diamond Mine, which allows Strong to hit the jumping knee on Odyssey for the clean victory, just for the victory. This is okay. I was all right. This was like, we had two filler matches with the Gacy match and this match, but it was fine. They weren't bad matches. This one wasn't bad.
It's wild to me that Roderick Strong is still in the company getting a push. I really thought, like, 2 years ago, if you said to me, who's going to, like, who's going to leave first of Undisputed Era? I go, oh, Roderick Strong. They're going to fire him one day just because they're bored. No, he's a champ. He's still getting a push.
Yeah, you know, when if you looked at, like, what's that group called again? Undisputed Era. I would have been like, if this group breaks up, I don't know what you would do with Roderick Strong, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he is, like, out of the only two, there's only two left, Kyle O'Reilly and him. And Kyle O'Reilly sure as hell is not getting a push anymore. You know?
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. That thing ended so quickly.
He just doesn't have it, man. He just doesn't have it. I'm sorry. I know these guys are good wrestlers or whatever. But, like, Kyle O'Reilly has no personality. You look at someone like Bron Breakker. You look at someone like Tony Spaghetti, whatever the fuck his name is.
Tony Spaghetti, Tony Spaghetti. Dude. They should change his name to Tony Spaghetti. They should just do it.
I love it. Yeah. Even Grayson Waller. You look at these guys. They have personality. Like, that. What is Kyle O'Reilly going to do? Like you want to, like, okay, this. Oh, it's going to be Kyle O'Reilly versus Roman Reigns at TLC. What is Kyle O'Reilly going to say to Roman Reigns at the mic that's going to make anyone interested in that fucking match? Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat you. Like, I'm sorry. The biggest mistake they made was breaking up Undisputed Era. I don't know so much if it did anything bad for Adam Cole, but I think if they kept Undisputed Era together and then after WrestleMania this year had them show up on Raw or SmackDown or whatever, I think right now Adam Cole would still be in WWE.
Yeah, I think they should give Kyle O'Reilly a stereotypical Irish gimmick and just run away.
I think they should actually let him go.
They might.
Let him go to AEW. And then I think if he was in AEW, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's too far from happening. So we'll see. Where are we up to? Okay, so we are with Imperium in the back with Mackenzie, and they're giving a promo. She asked him about Walter, and people have to understand, Fabian Aichner is Italian, and what's this guy's name? Marcel Bartel is Austrian. So they speak two different languages, but they do this foreign gimmick promo where Marcel Bartel cuts a promo in Austrian, and then Fabian Aichner cuts it in Italian. They have subtitles. They're doing this. These guys are foreign heels, the foreign serious heel gimmick, which I do like. It was fine. They said that Walter's not here, but we're going to make him proud or whatever. We're loyal to him. I like that. Even these guys have become a gimmick. I know people are like, they don't like these ethnicity gimmicks, but.
No, Imperium's really good.
Stop pretending wrestling is some amazing art form. Mm-hmm. It's not. Wrestling is the industry that was doing blackface just like less than 10 years ago, right? Yeah. they're okay doing blackface. It's not high art. It's supposed to be shitty, like carny shit. It is what it is. I'm fine with these foreign like gimmicks and stuff like that. It is. I like it. It gives them something. It gives Imperium something. So I liked it. So we're back in the back during the Halloween Havoc party. Von Wagner, Grayson Waller goes up to Von Wagner. He's like, what are you supposed to be? And Von Wagner's like, I'm supposed to be Brad Pitt. Don't you see the resemblance? And Grayson's like, no. Which I thought was really funny because Von Wagner, I've been saying, I'm not the only one who knows this. He is fucking ugly. This guy is so ugly. He's got like a bumpy
forehead. He's got a Frankenstein head.
Yeah, he looks like a white Great Khali. And he was like, I'm Brad Pitt. Don't you see the resemblance? I thought that was really funny. Cameron Grimes is talking with Duke Hudson in the party. And he's like, I'm going to join your poker room. So next week, he's going to join his poker room. Whatever the fuck that means. I have no idea what that means.
You're going to play poker.
Yeah. Robert Stone is dressed as Elvis. And he gets in like Zaya Quinn's face. Zaya Quinn like fucking slams him through the table of food. And then everyone celebrates because now it's a party. This was fine. These backstage segments are fine.
You could tell like Vince and Bruce have more of a say because this was such a Bruce Pritchard segment. You know what I mean?
Yes. And because this is something you would see in a Halloween episode of SmackDown or Raw.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And people can shit on these kind of segments all they want, but this is how John Cena became John Cena, by the way.
Yeah.
In these fucking segments. So, you know, it is, dude, this is where somebody could get discovered to become a star. So people, if they knock it, they're fucking, they don't know their wrestling history. They're fucking stupid. You could do more in these 1 minute backstage party segments than you would in like a 10 minute wrestling sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of wrestling match number four, this is for the NXT women's title. We got Mandy Rose in the ring. Raquel Gonzalez rides in a motorcycle. She's wearing like a whole neon green suit now. It looks fucking stupid. Oh, that suit looks ugly. So it's a spin the wheel, make a deal match. So Chucky has to spin this wheel. So Chucky spins, or they spin the wheel and
it says Chucky's choice.
Yeah, it lands on Chucky's choice, and he wants it to be a trick or street fight. So it's a street fight, but you got to pin or submit in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are fighting. They're throwing all sorts of like weapons, like kendo sticks, steel steps. Ultimately, this weird hooded figure comes in and hits a shovel shot onto Raquel's back. Raquel falls down, and then Mandy Rose hits a fucking running knee to the face. And Mandy Rose covers her for the victory to become the new NXT Women's Champion at the 9 o'clock mark. And then the hooded figure stands. So all of Toxic Attraction now have all the women's belts.
Yes, awesome.
And then they pan back into the ring where a fallen Raquel Gonzalez is shadowed by a standing hooded figure who rips off her fucking hood to reveal that it's Dakota Kai with the stupidest fucking pink hair I've ever seen.
Dude, that, she, like, she's had that for 2 months now.
Yeah, but
she had the last takeover.
You're supposed to be like now this like really like I don't dude. I thought everything was fine except for the fucking pink hair. I wouldn't have had the pink hair.
Okay, well she's had that now since SummerSlam. So
yeah, but you're supposed to be like now like you're more like evil. You know, you're supposed to be like, oh, I want to like I'm taking my revenge on Raquel Gonzalez, my former protege or whatever the fuck it is. And you're going to have hot pink hair like a fucking idiot? Dude, it's just stupid.
Well, I'll tell you this. Enough about that, bro. Let's talk about that was probably the best match Mandy Rose ever did.
Yes.
I don't want to hear. You know, and it's so annoying because in the comments section, like, oh, the Divas era is back. And it's like, dude, Mandy Rose has been good in the ring.
What do you mean Divas era is back?
Because Mandy Rose is hot. Obviously, these people don't watch the fucking show. Mandy Rose has been good in the ring for a while. It's just that they haven't shown it. Like she had a really good match with Sonya Deville at SummerSlam a year and a half ago. And then they just shoved her with Dana Brooke, you know, on Raw during the pandemic. That's what I remember.
People, if being hot equates to, oh, now the Divas era is back, you're fucking, people are stupid. There's a lot of hot.
And also you're kind wrestler. Of implying that Mandy Rose is hotter than Becky, Bayley, Charlotte, Bianca, you know what I mean?
This wasn't, how was this a Divas era match? This was a good match.
Mandy Rose had her, and I think she deserves the belt. And look, I think it's time to start taking Mandy Rose. I think it's time for the company to take Mandy Rose seriously. There, I've always said there's money in Mandy Rose.
Absolutely. With,
and I don't know why they abandoned ship with the Otis stuff with her, but now they're back on the Mandy. I'm glad Mandy has a belt. I'm glad that she's like the main focus of this show. Raquel Gonzalez, I don't think does it for me. You know what I mean? Like, she's okay.
She doesn't. She's boring. She got no. She her gimmick is that she's really tall. You know.
Yeah. I'm glad that Mandy got the belt, and I think it's time for the company to get behind Mandy, and I'm glad they are. And you know what? With Charlotte, here's the deal. With Charlotte being a lunatic and Sasha not wanting to get vaccinated. I don't know if that was ever settled. It's, you know, it's time. These women who are not problems and are good, it's time to start showcasing them. So maybe you don't need Charlotte or Sasha or whoever the fuck. You can put Mandy Rose in that position.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. This was Mandy Rose's best match that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I would keep her on NXT for now, but
oh yeah, but I'm saying down the road, you know, it's time to, like, I also think Sonya should be back in the ring. It's time, and Naomi, it's time to give these women the push. So if Charlotte does leave, or whoever leaves, Becky gets pregnant again, you can slide these women in to major roles.
Yeah, I totally see that. You know, when I was watching this and I was seeing, like, this is like a career resurgence for Mandy, right?
Yeah.
And I was watching this going, how the hell did she get back to NXT? Like, how did she pull this off? And how come, like, someone like a Dana Brooke or a Liv Morgan can't be like, can I just go back to NXT? How come they can't do that?
I don't know, but I think that, like, I think they were going to bring her in as a manager and not have her wrestle.
And yeah, then
when
me
she
too.
Started having good matches, like when she started proving herself in the ring, I think they altered the plan. I think the original plan was she would just be their manager, Toxic Attraction.
Okay.
And now she's like really bringing it. And here, and I, you know what? I would not also, dude, I got to be honest. I think what happened on Friday, we have to get other people ready.
Yeah.
Because if they get Mandy Rose and let's just say Mandy Rose for now, or let's see, but they get Mandy Rose and Dakota Kai on the level that Bianca and Sasha and Charlotte are at right now, then if Charlotte does just decide to stop showing up to work or whatever, you can slide Mandy Rose into that role.
Yeah, or Raquel Gonzalez or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I think she was supposed to be a manager, and I think they like kind of gave up on her. And then she showed them what she's doing in the ring. And now with the Charlotte thing, they're like, we need to get more serious about these other women.
You know, because what I was thinking was, if this worked for Mandy, where you can,
it could have worked for Ruby Soho. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't they take Dana Brooke and Liv Morgan and do the same thing? Just be like, you know what? One of you guys, not all at once.
Or even Carmella.
Yeah. We're going to send one of you guys down there so we can revamp your character. And because you know what? Because when you go down there, you automatically come there with some name value because you're a bigger star.
Yeah. And now, like, if you have, let's say Mandy holds the belt until, I don't know, WrestleMania week. And then the night after WrestleMania, she shows back up on Raw. You can slide her into matches with Bianca and Sasha or Bayley if Bayley's back.
Yeah. And if you were going to do this with, like, say, a Dana Brooke or a Liv Morgan, you have to do it the way you did it with Mandy, meaning you have to change her fucking look, change everything. Anything from the old gimmick from the main roster, you don't bring down except for the name.
I was very happy with this match, and it's nice to see someone, because when Mandy Rose first showed up, like in 2017, 2018, I was like, ugh. And she has just gotten better and better. It's nice to see someone grow in this fucking company, because usually they don't. They just get worse.
Yeah, I was happy with this match. I'm happy for Mandy Rose, and I think this is going to be good with her as champion, with her as basically leader of a stable. You know, she's doing good stuff. I'm assuming that Raquel Gonzalez is going to start fighting Dakota Kai.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Mandy Rose is now going to need challengers, and I think that's part of
it. I think they're going to do a War Games match with Mandy Rose, Toxic Attraction, and Dakota Kai versus another team. War Game. I bet you they do War Games Survivor Series weekend.
Well, I think this is where, like, one of the reasons why I took the title off of the tag team titles off of Zoe Starks and Io Shirai. You know, because
to build up Toxic Attractions for War Games. I think it's going to be Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, maybe Indy Hartwell, and someone else taking on these women.
Did they announce War Games?
No, because they don't want to fucking, they're hyping up tonight. I have a feeling that next week they'll announce War Games.
Okay. That's possible. Yeah, that is possible. All right, we go back to the scary house. That's Dexter Lumis's house. So now Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are actually in the house. And it's basically like one of those haunted houses you pay money for, where you go to people that kind of spook scare you. And there's all these different types of people, like a bat, a creepy old lady, a pumpkin guy. And Trick does a great job acting scared. I think he was better than Carmelo. And then they mentioned the word Chase, and all of a sudden Andre Chase, who's, I think, has got one of the funniest gimmicks in NXT right now. He goes, did somebody say Andre Chase? That is not his gimmick, by the way. His gimmick that he is a cursing teacher. And this gimmick is so funny. So Andre, they're like, Andre Chase, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, I came here with my class, but I lost all my students. And then they go, oh, you mean like that dead kid outside? And then he goes, dead kid? And then they change the subject. They just go, hey, why don't you just kind of lead us? That was really funny. And then, so Andre's now leading these guys, and then he sees something scary, and he goes, what the fuck is that? But they bleep him. I think it's so funny that he's playing this gimmick where he's a teacher, but he keeps cursing every once in a while. It's really funny. Yeah, it's really funny to me. And then basically, they see a reflection of Dexter Lumis. They all get scared. They all somehow get split up. Now Andre Chase is gone. They finally get Trick Williams and Carmelo finally get the North American title. And the ending was kind of stupid. Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis like chase him out of the house, and then Johnny goes, boo! And then the runaway scared, and that's the end of the segment, basically. The ending was stupid, but I thought this was funny. I found it funny, so I liked it. Did you like it, or did you fucking hate this? Because if you hated it, I get it, too.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just there for me. I still think Johnny Gargano has no charisma. They keep putting him in these things, though. So clearly somebody likes him doing these sketches.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, somebody likes him in these sketches. But this was good. So next week, it is going to be Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes versus Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano in a tag match. That was the whole outcome of this. Mm-hmm. Grayson Waller, who is the host of Halloween Havoc, is in the ring dressed as a vampire. And LA Knight, who was originally supposed to be the host, he comes into the ring. He comes, and he's also dressed like a vampire. So they're both dressed like vampires. I thought this was really funny. And then LA Knight's like, hey, like, get out of here. I'm the host. And he goes, hey, it's not my fault. Well, Grayson Waller's like, it's not your fault. You had car problems. And he's like, how did you know I had car problems? And then, suspicious. And then we get the debut of Solo Sikoa. This is, do you remember when I was telling you about Sifu Fatu? The one of the Usos' younger brother?
Yeah, the Usos' younger brother, yes.
Yeah, they signed him. He comes out and he gets into the ring because he's got like a Samoan Street Fighter gimmick, right? Mm-hmm. So fucking LA Knight throws Waller to him and he beats the crap out of Waller. And then he has a face off with LA Knight, who wants no part of him, and he leaves the ring. And the entire crowd starts chanting, Uso, Uso. He does look like an Uso.
He looks like a badder version of the Usos.
Yeah, with blonde hair.
More intense. Yeah. Yeah, I got a good feeling about this guy, too. I say build him up and then let him join the bloodline.
Yeah. But I guess, are they going to keep that name, Solo Sikoa?
Yeah, why not?
It's like, yeah.
What are you going to call him? John Uso? Like, you got to separate him from those two guys.
Yeah, I know. But if he's supposed to be related to them, yeah. And the thing is, Uso means brother. And
what's his full name again, Sikoa? Solo
Sikoa in NXT, but when he was in the Indies, it was Sifu. It was Sifa. Spatu.
Call him Solo, and he's not with Roman, so he's Solo. He just cut.
Yeah, he could do that. I love Polynesian Oceania wrestlers, so this is right up my alley. I did like this.
He'll be getting the push. He's gonna be getting the push.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting a push, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they show Braun working out, and then he looks over to the Chucky doll, and he goes, hey, I know you.
Yeah, it's continuity from WCW.
Yeah. Dude, this is so funny to me. I was just like, this is so campy, but it's so funny at the same time.
So funny like that. He's like, oh, I remember you. Like, yeah, because Rick Steiner and Chucky had issues with each other, yeah.
In WCW, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rick Steiner is Braun Breaker's father. So this was funny. DJ does a fucking, he's like, I guess he's a famous fucking DJ in Florida. Yeah. Like he does fucking an intro for MSK. And then before this fifth match, they do a profile, a Geico profile on Zion Quinn, the Samoan ghost. And I was like, this is the worst time to do this because this is like such a similar gimmick to Sola Sikoa. You
know, yeah.
Sola Sikoa is supposed to be a Samoan street fighter, and Zion Quinn is supposed to be a Samoan MMA fighter. So it's such a shit. It's so like similar, the gimmicks. I feel like these guys are going to be put into a tag team. That's what I think is going to happen.
That could happen.
Yeah. So we go to match number 5. This is for the NXT tag team titles. Imperium versus MSK. Chucky is in this match somehow going like, oh, let's spin the wheel, make a deal. And they get this guest kid named Alex to spin the wheel. And it lands on a lumberjack lantern match, which is basically a lumberjack match. All these wrestlers come out. This is a good match. There's this cool spot where Fabian Aichner has both MSK members on him in a fireman's carry, and he's trying to squat them up, but he keeps failing. It's too heavy and he's tired. But then he finally gets them up after he resets. He fucking throws them down. Amazing spot where Wesley fucking dives over the corner into the lumberjacks. Nash Carter hits a fucking bulldog off the top rope. Ultimately, at the end, Imperium hits the Imperium bomb on Wesley to become the new NXT tag team champion. So we have 3 title matches so far, and all 3 titles were changed. This was a very good match. I liked it.
This was good. I like them as case champs, but these two teams are going to have more great matches. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a rematch at War Games. And again, I'm assuming that's the next show. There, by the way, WWE. Oh, I won't be Survivor Series weekend. WWE has no regular pay per views for December. The final WWE main roster pay per view is Survivor Series. So I think they're going to do War Games in December.
Definitely. Oh, okay.
So that's what I've been thinking. The next WWE, they're doing a special New Year's Day pay per view.
A New Year's Day pay per view?
Yes.
What's it called?
I don't know. It was Nick Khan's idea. It's Nick Khan Palooza idea. So.
Oh, okay. Can we?
So I think so. They have something in December, some event on the network. They're gonna have. I think they're gonna have War Games.
Okay, that's probably true. That's possible.
But I like this match. I'm excited for the rematches. Yeah. Let's keep it going. I like these two teams.
I want to talk about something. And if you don't really want to talk about it, we don't have to. But so everyone's been talking about how MSK's been getting booed while they were at the NXT arena. I didn't recall hearing a lot of boos, but supposedly it was because of Izzy's parents. Izzy's,
whatever
right?
The fuck her name is.
Yeah. I did not hear any boos tonight.
Right? Yeah, I saw on Twitter somebody said those people weren't there. The people that boo them weren't there.
Do you think they were uninvited, or do you think they were?
I would not be surprised if WWE said, don't come back.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think if you're an adult and you are doing this, you are a fucking crazy parent. You are a crazy parent.
The people that are doing this for this little girl are fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing with Izzy is weird. And, he, you know, the reason why they booed him is years ago when she took a choke slam when she was 13.
13 years old, guys.
And he said, I don't think a 13-year-old should be taking choke slams. I agree with that.
And he wasn't the only one. There's a lot of wrestlers at this, like Lance Storm and some other people. And I agree.
She shouldn't be getting a choke slam. And she shouldn't be – dude, there's some weird stuff going on. She shouldn't be, like, associating with – like, JD from New York defended her and her parents. They've always been great to me. And Cody, I just think there's something weird going on. There's something weird going on. There's a fucking cat. There's something
Here's
weird.
Here's a hot take. I never gave a shit about Izzy. And
I don't give a shit about Izzy either.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing with Izzy, I think it's cool when she used to cosplay as Bailey and Bailey would hug her. But that's where it should have been left. It should have been left at that.
I even then, I thought it was a little annoying.
It was, but like, if you leave it like that, and then like, if this girl wants to train, first of all, she should have started training when she's 17, 18. And if this girl trains 17, 18 and she's good, And then when she's 20, 21, 22, she actually gets on the roster. And then you want to do a match between her and Bayley. I think that's cool. That's an interesting story, right? But the fact that she's now like part of the business and she has male fans and Tish, I think that shit is fucking weird.
Because she's a child, guys.
Yeah.
She is not an adult.
No.
She's not the age of adults.
And she kind of... And it's not like she's one of those like 13, 14 year olds that looks like they're 20. She looks like a child still.
Yeah.
And they have her, and she's posting bikini photos and photos with like sports bra where she's working out. And men are seeing the comments, looking good, Izzy. Ooh, I bet you could beat me up, Izzy. And here's the weird thing about that Izzy account. So if you're a grown man and you hit on her, she does not block you. She like sometimes hits like, but if you're like respond to that, be like, hey bro, she's 13, don't say that shit, that she will block that person. So in other words, if you start shitting on the guys hitting on her, she will block you and not the 40-year-old men hitting on her.
Yeah, that's
which tells you what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and that definitely does some weird fucking Floridian parents basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do not give a shit about Izzy. I do not give a shit about her parents.
I give a shit about MSK.
I will not give a shit about Izzy until she becomes a good professional wrestler. And even then, I will not give a shit about her personal life.
I don't think she's gonna make it. I think this is gonna end in several horrible ways. This isn't gonna end with her like becoming the WWE champion and like freaking.
Yeah. Anyways, if they're not allowed in NXT arena anymore, good. Glad. Get those fucking weirdos out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Creepy parents out of here, these fucking weirdos.
There's
parents.
A future. There's a future with MSK. There's not a future with Izzy.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So every time we talk about Chucky, I can't help but fucking laugh, dude. Chucky gives a breakdown of Bron Breakker and Tommaso Ciampa, and they're doing a whole recap of how this feud's been happening. And Chucky, they keep alluding to how he knows this guy's family. He goes, hey, Bron, has your father ever told you stories when you were a kid about this creepy thing? And he's like, Bron, if I know you like I know your family, there's like a, you're like, I hope you're not like your family.
Scared little puppy or something, yeah.
Yeah, or he called him a loser. Like, I hope the loser doesn't run in your family. And when he said that, I was like, oh, fucking no. I was like, oh, please don't tell me he's going to fucking lose. So match number 6, Bron Breakker versus Ciampa, who comes out cosplayed like the God of War. I thought it looked stupid. Because he's not fucking white. He's like blue or some shit. So this is a good match. They set up early on where Ciampa exposes the concrete, but they don't do anything on it, and they go back fighting. Bron Breakker stands in the second top turnbuckle. Everyone's doing the barking at him, and he's getting ready to do the Rick Steiner fucking bulldog, and then he fucking slips and falls right on his face.
That was brutal.
Yeah, he fell right on his face. He does recover. They go back outside. It's a good back and forth match. And Ciampa finally hits. They go back to the exposed concrete, which was cool. And he hits a DDT on Bron Breakker on the concrete. Throws him back in the ring. Bron Breaker's got blood trickling down his forehead. He's got blood in his mouth. Ciampa hits a fairy tale ending. Bron kicks out. He's not going down. So Ciampa hits like 3 knee strikes on his face. And then he hits another fairy tale ending for Ciampa to win and retain the belt. I was so invested in this match, dude. I was like, no. I was like, I really thought fucking Bron Breakker was going to win. And I was so invested in this. I haven't been this invested in a WWE match in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I legit did not know who was going to win. And they had me hook, line, and sinker. And even though I was upset that Bron didn't win, this was a very good match. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a very good match. I'm pissed he didn't win. I just kind of feel like you should have just let this guy just not lose for a long time. But having said that, he did come across very green in the match. Like he,
yeah,
there were moments that you could tell that he, I almost kind of feel, and maybe I'm wrong, but I almost kind of feel like they changed the finish on the fly when he fell on his face. He said, I think he was supposed to kick out of all those moves and then pin a Tabasco champion. And the ref got Vince in the earpiece. This idiot's winning. Yeah, switch it. So don't kick out. Let him hit the moves on you.
I forgot we were calling it Tabasco champion.
Yeah, Tabasco champion. Dude, he looks like such a fucking loser. I fucking hate that guy. Dude, to Tabasco champion's credit, he did not miss a beat when Bron Breakker fell on his face.
Tabasco champion, for all his like old man faults, he is a very good ring general. He knows how to, like, if somebody fucks up, he goes like, you're right, he doesn't miss a beat. He just fucking like, oh,
can change things on him within a fucking second, and he just fucking goes with it. I gotta give him credit because he made it work so fast. I almost thought, like, was the fall supposed to be intentional? That's how fast he reacted. So
I had to rewind it because I felt the same way. I was like, was that supposed to happen? Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, I think this.
He literally didn't miss a beat. He's like, all right, I'm gonna go for the pin because, like, he literally didn't miss a beat. So I almost feel like they told the ref switch the finish. I don't know. I'm like, you're not
ready yet. That is possible. That like Bron was supposed to win us, and as soon as he fucking slipped and fell, they were like, fucking, we're not putting the title on this fight
yet. Not yet. We have a pay-per-view we got to sell in December, I think. So, but all in all, this was a great episode. I really had a great time watching this. This was the opposite of Bound for Glory. I had a great time watching it. Very enjoyable. Really good night of TV. And I got to give them a lot of credit. And also, like, felt nice to have Halloween Havoc back and be in the Halloween spirit. And Chucky was fun, and the references to Rick Steiner were fun. I'm pretty livid about the ending, but I'm not that livid. I got to give it 2 thumbs up.
This was the first NXT episode that I watched that had the same like humor, like good amount of action and excitement that you normally get in an AEW show.
Yeah.
Like, I was legit excited about this. They've been building up this fucking main event. And when the main event, it delivered. And I was, you know, they had me. I think this was really.
Yeah, I'm really happy that we decided to cover this because I remember, like, when I heard the main event, I'm like, oh, that should be good. And they still were bringing back Halloween Havoc. And this was just a good show, man. They should be proud of themselves. Triple H, you really just wasted your life. And hope you never come back.
Basically, they had the best episode of NXT on USA while you were not there.
Let me just say, and again, if you are shitting on NXT 2.0 after this episode, you just have this weird look. I think WWE sucks too. I don't trust anyone in charge. But when they have a good show, you have to admit it's a good show. And when the shows are getting better, you have to admit that. Otherwise, you're a fucking loser, Mark. Sorry.
The shows are somewhat getting better. I mean, Crown Jewel was just a couple of days ago, and it was a very, very, it was probably the best pay-per-view, main roster pay-per-view.
Yeah, and this was another great show. Yeah. Even the stuff I didn't like, it didn't, like, anger me. I didn't like, oh, God, why do I waste my time watching this show? Like,
Yeah, it didn't anger you. You're right, yes.
It was like, at first I was annoyed, but then when he fell, I got, like, a bad feeling. Because that was really bad. That was like first day of wrestling.
Yeah, it was very funny. It was very funny, yeah.
All right. But anyway, guys, that's it for this week. We might, we might be back next week with something. We'll see. Friday might rain all night, so maybe we'll cover SmackDown and Rampage. I might have to cancel my show.
Is it raining on? Oh, shit, it is.
It's supposed to rain all Friday and Saturday. So, I don't know. Are you around?
Yeah, I'm all right. Did your basement get flooded?
No. I got that all fixed. But it's supposed to rain all day and all night Friday. So if I have to cancel the show, we'll cover SmackDown, Rampage, and by popular demand, 205 Live. Yes. Oh,
God, no. Let's not do 205, please.
Yes.
Dude, it's not even cruiserweights anymore. They got fucking like...
Listen, if it's raining, we have no other choice.
Actually, because they have women on the show, technically it still is 205 because a lot of them are under 205.
Yeah, not Raquel.
Hey,
not
but
Raquel.
How are we going to do it? Because Rampage is on the same time.
Don't you have DVR?
How do you watch it?
I can DVR it.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, fine.
Well, we'll figure it out. If it doesn't rain, I'm having the show. So we'll see what happens, guys. We'll talk
to you soon. We'll see what happens.